Dear devotees, we'll continue where we left off yesterday with the Bhakti Shatak. We'll be starting by singing the fourth and fifth dohas.
Jai Radhe Krishna Radhe 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 Krishna Radhe 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 Jai Radhe Jai Radhe 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 Jai Radhe Jai Radhe Radhe Krishna Jai Krishna Jai Krishna Krishna Jai Krishna Jai Krishna Jiva Tatastha Shakti Par Maya Kar Adhikar Radhe Radhe Vastu tastu ya das hai Swami Nand Kumar Radhe Radhe Vastu tastu ya Das Krishna Bahir Mukh Jivaka Maya Karati Adhina Radhe Radhe Tate bhulyo apukaha banyo vishaya rasmin radhe radhe Jai Radhe Krishna Radhe 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 Krishna 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 Radhe
Yesterday, while explaining the fourth Doha, I explained to you that what exactly is the soul, and we learned that the soul is Ansh of Shri Krishna's Jeeva Shakti. And his Jeeva Shakti is also called Tatastha Shakti, because it is neither his internal power, which is called Swarup Shakti, nor is it his external power, which is called Maya. It's in between the two. An unlimited number of souls, infinite number of souls, are belonging to this Jeev Shakti. Every single soul is Ansh of Jeev Shakti. This Jeev Shakti, being Ansh of Shri Krishna, who is the Anshi, is naturally Das. That is part of our identity as souls. We're natural servants of Shri Krishna. The question comes, when we are his Ansh, we are his Das, how is it that Maya is able to keep us under power, under Maya is controlling the souls, not controlling our actions, but keeping us under bondage, keeping us in this Mayic world? So the answer comes in the fifth Doha. Krishna Bahirmukha Jiva Kaha Maya Karati Adhin. Maya is only able to keep those souls under its bondage who are turned away from Shri Krishna. Bahir mukh, mukh means face, and bahir means turned away from. There's quite a famous mantra from our Vedas that describes this situation. Dva Suparna Sayuja Sakhaya Samanam Vriksham Parikhasva Jate Tayoranya Pippalam Svadvatya Nashnannanyo Abhichakashiti. The soul and God are compared to two birds sitting in the same tree, and the tree is our physical body. The two birds, one is watching and the other is busy. So the soul, the one bird, who is busy trying to eat all the fruits of the tree. In other words, we souls are busily trying to enjoy pleasures of this world. And in doing so, we forget our eternal friend, the other bird, who is right there with us, watching us, waiting with open arms, but not interfering in anything we're doing, just waiting and watching. Our eternal friend who is always with us, but we are bahirmukh from him. So it is only those souls who are turned away from God whom Maya is able to keep under bondage. Another question along these same lines that people ask is, if souls are chetan and Maya is Jada, how is Jada Maya able to keep Chetan Jeev under bondage? Chetan means alive, and Jada means non-living. So this Mayic energy is Jada. How should it be able to keep the soul under bondage? To understand this, let's think of Maya as darkness, God as the sun, Mahaprakash, and souls as Anuprakash. We are also Prakash. God is Mahachetan. He is the giver of all life. He gives life to every soul. And we are Chetan. We receive that Chetanata from Bhagwan. But our significance is called Anu, whereas God is Vibhu. Vibhu means absolutely great, unlimited. And Anu means infinitesimal. So Maya is darkness. God is like the sun, Mahaprakash. And we are Anuprakash, a tiny fraction of that great divine light. Now, if you were to look at a shiny thing, like the metal on this harmonium stop, you would say, this has ansh of prakash in it. Prakash means light. It reflects light. It's shiny. So it's like it has an ansh of prakash in it. However, if we turn off all the lights in this room, this gets overcome by the darkness. This doesn't have enough power of prakash to banish the darkness. The darkness overcomes this if all the rest of the lights are turned off. Similarly, if souls are turned away from God, then Maya overcomes the soul. Even though we are Chetan and Maya is Jada. So the darkness, Maya, overpowers us. This is an eternal situation. We never became Bahirmukh from God. We've always been turned away from Him. He is eternal, we're eternal, Maya is eternal. Had we ever been sunmukh to God, Maya could have never brought us under bondage. Because can darkness go before the sun? Darkness can never overcome the sun, so Maya can never overcome God. It's impossible. And those souls who are with God, Maya can never touch them again. Those souls who become sunmukh to God. So once you become sunmukh to Bhagwan, you can never become vimukh again. So once you're free from Maya, you're always free from Maya. Therefore, we are currently under Maya, so it means we've never been beyond Maya. If we're under Maya today, we must have been under Maya since eternity. So our Mayic bondage never began. It was never enforced upon us. It's a natural and eternal bondage. But of course, it doesn't have to last for all the rest of eternity. By turning towards God, we can be released from Maya. Now, some people think that Maya is just an illusion, and that you could get rid of Maya just by thinking. If you just think that, no, I'm a soul, I'm not this body, and this world doesn't exist. If you think that enough, then you'll be free from Maya. But the actual fact is that Maya is not a creation of our own mind. Maya is an actual power that exists. Mayam tu prakritim vidyan mayinan tu maheshwaram. Shvetashvatropanishad says that Maya is actually a power of God. So I described that to you yesterday. It's his Bahiranga Shakti. It's his external power, but don't think that it's separate from him. No, as we learned, no power can be separate from its base. So there's also a bheda-bheda sambandh between Maya and God. Take the sun again and a pot that's sitting there, and the reflection of the sun is falling into the pot, or the sun is being reflected by that pot of water, is what I mean. So that reflection in that pot of water is separate from the sun. You see the sun there, and the reflection is there, but the reflection can't exist without the sun. And technically it is only the sun, it's nothing else. Something like that. Maya is outside of God and separate from God because it has different characteristics than God. It's a non-living energy, and yet it can't exist without God. And it in fact exists within him. So Maya is a real power. Daivi yesha gunamayi mama maya duratyaya. Gita. Shri Krishna says, mama maya. Maya is my power. In the Ramayana, it said, sodasi raghubir ki samujhe mithya sopi chute naram kripa binu nath kahu padropi. That Maya is a servant of God. Maya is a real power. It's not just your imagination. So you can't make it go away just by thinking. Maya is a real power that really has us under bondage. Although the only reason we're under bondage is because we're turned away from God. Some great saints, one very notable one being Jagadguru Shankaracharya, said that Maya is an illusion. It doesn't actually exist. The world doesn't exist. Now, Jagadguru Sri Kripaluji Maharaj even is able to reconcile this point. He says Shankaracharya is not wrong. You have to understand from what perspective is he speaking. So to explain this, he said there are two kinds of Maya. There's Gunamaya and there's Jivamaya. Two kinds of Maya. Gunamaya is the actual energy that produced this world. So what is this microphone made of? What is this harmonium made of? What is the air made of that we're breathing? What is the space made of that we're sitting in? These are all products of Maya. But it's called Gunamaya. It has three gunas, sattva, raj, tam. What's the other Maya? The other Maya is called Jiva Maya. Jiva Maya is further divided into two types. Avaranatmika Jiva Maya and Vikshepatmika Jiva Maya. Avaranatmika Maya. When the soul is turned away from God, Maya covers the soul like darkness and makes the soul, makes that individual soul forget their identity. They forget that I am a soul, I'm Ansh of God, I'm His servant, He is Anand, He is happiness. Only by attaining Him will I get perfect happiness. That is my identity. The soul forgets that due to the effect of Maya. Then what happens? Vikshepatmika Jiva Maya causes that individual's soul to start becoming attached in the world. Why? Because now the soul, this individual, has made this mistake, forgetting that I am a divine soul. He begins to identify with his body. I am the physical body. So he's forgotten his identity now. And since he's identifying with the physical body, he believes that he's related only to the things that are related to his physical body. The objects of the world become mine. They become the source, or at least he hopes they would, become the source of his happiness. All the people who are related to his physical body become the ones that he cares about and gets attached to. So because we believe that the things related to our physical body could be the source of happiness, we think about them a lot. And because we dwell on them, we develop attachment to those people and things. And that attachment becomes the cause of our rebirth. This is our situation. This is what we've been doing since eternity. Believing this world to be mine, because this body is mine, and everybody related to me is mine. And where am I going to find happiness? In the people who are mine and in the things that are mine. In other words, all material things, forgetting about God. And the more we think like that, the more attached our mind becomes in worldly things and people. And we go on multiplying our attachments and desires. And that's what we've been doing since eternity. Now, the soul is still divine, and it still happens to be Ansh of God. There's no doubt about that. But it's the mind which is confused. The mind is deluded through the effect of Maya. So that delusion is what is fake. Maya, meaning the world, is not fake. The whole inner world we've created is considered fake. Now, we can't deny that it seems real to us, it feels real to us. When we feel love, when we feel hate, when we feel anger, when we feel these things, they're real to us. But in comparison to the outer world, they cannot be called real, relatively speaking. Just like if you have a diamond in one hand and you have a piece of cubic zirconia in the other hand, you say this is real and this is fake. Doesn't mean that cubic zirconia doesn't exist, but it's not comparable to the diamond. Similarly, our emotions are real for us, but they're not real on the level that things in this physical world are real, because these are real to everybody. They're the same for everybody. Everybody can agree that I have a book in my hand. Everybody can agree on the color of the book, unless you're colorblind. So the things in this physical world are the same for everybody. But the things in here are not the same for everybody. There could be a person standing before you, and you have feelings of love for that person because they're your mother. And another person over here feels completely differently about that person. Why? Because that's her brother. He feels totally differently than you do. Oh, that's my mother. That's my sister. He's feeling. The person is the same. The feelings in different people's hearts will be different. A total stranger won't feel anything. The enemy of her will feel anger, frustration, hatred. So, are those feelings real? Not real relative to the person. See, the person is real. You can't challenge whether the person exists or not. But those feelings, see, let's say there's another person who's in love romantically with that lady. They also have feelings of love. Then let's say they find out that, oh, she doesn't love me, she loves somebody else. She's been pretending to be nice to me, but she doesn't really love me. Then what happens to those feelings of love? They can be transformed into feelings of hate instantly. So is the love real or is the hate real? Which one is real? It's just a product of our own thinking. Then if he finds out, oh no, no, the person who told me that was lying to me. Actually, she does love me. Again, his feelings of hate transformed to love. So which ones are real? That's why we say none of those feelings are real, because they can change in an instant depending upon our thinking. Or you can just put it this way, we create our own feelings of love and hate through either positive thinking or negative thinking. So when Jagadguru Shankaracharya talks about the world being unreal, he's talking about this world. This world is our creation. We build it up and we can tear it down. But the outer world is actually real. So the outer world is produced by Guna Maya, with God's help. God has to activate Maya, and then it unfolds into the form of the physical universe. And he has to be omnipresent in Maya to keep the universe in existence. But we, being almost powerless, since we are turned away from God, this Maya has us under its bondage. And due to the effect of its bondage, we've all forgotten our identity as souls. We identify with our physical body. So we start looking for happiness in all the physical things in this world. And that causes us to create more and more attachments. And that perpetuates our cycle of birth and death. So, as I mentioned yesterday, in the first 5 dohas of this Bhakti Shatak, Shri Kripaluji Maharaj basically explains the whole thing. He explains about God, he explains about souls, he explains about Maya. He's reconciled all the theories into just these first 5 dohas. Going forward in the last 95 dohas of this Bhakti Shatak, he further expounds on these ideas, taking certain details and explaining them for our practical use. So going forward, he explains something very interesting about God's antaranga shakti, his personal power. Just like we are under the control of his maya shakti, Bhagwan Shri Krishna is under the control of his Yogamaya Shakti, that Swarup Shakti. So how is that? We'll see going forward.
Jai Radhe Krishna, Radhe, Radhe, Radhe Krishna, Radhe. Jai Radhe Krishna, Radhe, Radhe, Radhe Krishna, Radhe.
Jai Radhe Krishna Radhe 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 Krishna Radhe. Jai Radhe Krishna Radhe 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 Krishna Radhe. Jai Radhe Krishna Radhe 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 Krishna Radhe. Jai Radhe Krishna Radhe 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 Krishna Radhe. Jai Radhe. Jai Radhe. Krishna Jaya Krishna Jaya Krishna Krishna Antaranga hai parajo sarva samarth kaha. Antaranga hai parajo sarva samarth kaha. Ati vichitra gati paraki maya pati hun na chay radhe radhe. Paraki maya pati ati vichitra gati paraki maya pati hun na chay radhe radhe. Jai Radhe Krishna Radhe 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 Krishna Radhe 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 So we learned that there are three main tattvas or three main powers. Parashakti means the supreme power. We also learn that there is the soul power, jeev shakti, and there is the material power, maya shakti. They are also referred to as antarang, tatast, and bahirang. Bahirang, external, that's maya. Tatast, those are the souls, in between, neither external nor internal. And then there's antarang, internal. So this power is being described in this doha. Para, the supreme personal power of God, is antarang. It's his personal power and it is sarva samarth. Kartum akartum anyatha kartum samartha. A definition of this supreme personal power of God. With this power, he can do anything. Aghatita ghatana patiyasi. Such is the power of this antarang personal power of God that it can make all the impossibles possible. So it is through this power that God simultaneously has uncountable forms. And he is omnipresent in all of those forms. And he could be taking avatar in uncountable places in each and every one of those forms. This is only possible through this supreme personal power of his. It's through that power that he knows everything without even trying. He keeps track of every thought, every moment, of every soul living everywhere, not only in this world, but in the whole universe. Unlimited souls, all at once, he's keeping track of everybody and everything that they're doing and thinking. And it takes no effort for him. He created this universe with a mere thought. Ichiter na shabdam. He didn't even have to say anything. He just thought. And the universe came into being. So all of that is only possible through this divine power. There's one other fascinating characteristic of this power. It is so great that it can even keep God under its control. It is also called Yoga Maya. So God actually has two maya, two powers that we call maya. One maya keeps all the souls under its control if they're turned away from God. And the other maya keeps God under its power. Now this might seem very odd to you, that if something can keep God under its power, then that power would have to be God, not God. Remember I was explaining to you on the first day as well, yesterday, that Swarup Shakti, this personal power we're talking about, the essence of that is Ahladini Shakti. The essence of that is Prema Shakti. The essence of that is Mahabhav, and that is Radharani herself. So Yoga Maya is Radha. As well, we call the almighty aspect of Yoga Maya is also referred to as Durga or Lakshmi or Saraswati. But the absolute supreme source of this power or form of this power is Radha herself. And Radha being the soul of Shri Krishna who resides within Shri Krishna, we learn that Shri Krishna worships his soul Radha. So this Yoga Maya Shakti, also called Parashakti, Swarup Shakti, Antaranga Shakti, Chit Shakti, it has all these names. It's also called Mohini Shakti, Vaishnavi Shakti. It has the power to make God forget he's God. That's what we mean when we say that it keeps God under his power. You know how Maya makes us forget our identity? We start thinking we're the body, forgetting that we're the soul. Well, Yoga Maya makes Shri Krishna forget that he's God. So he also forgets his identity. You might say that, well, this also causes him some problems. Just like when we forget our identity, we get all the problems. Only because we forgot our identity, we get attached in the world, and that leads to all of our suffering. Three kinds of suffering: physical and mental suffering, suffering caused to us by other people, suffering caused by the elements and nature. So in the same way that Maya making us forget our true identity has caused us a lot of suffering, Shri Krishna also ends up in some bad situations when he forgets his identity as God. You see, Mother Yashoda caught him eating some soil. What did she do? She threatened him with a stick, and he cried, "Oh no, please don't hit me with the stick. Mom, I promise I'll never eat dirt again." If he remembered he's God, he wouldn't be caught in such a situation, right? No one would lift a stick to threaten God. And he certainly wouldn't cry in front of the person who was threatening him. But he's forgotten who he is. One time, Maya also tied him up. Tied him to the ukal as a punishment. Gopis get him to dance. They offer him a little bit of buttermilk. I mean, buttermilk's a good thing. I wouldn't turn it down if someone's offering it to me. But saying, "No, no, no. It's just a little bit. It's like a few swallows. No, you don't get it yet. Let's see. We're going to clap our hands and you dance for us. Then maybe we'll think about giving you a little sip of this buttermilk." God, who is never hungry or thirsty, he's going to be made to dance like a street performer makes a monkey dance? How could this happen? Only because he forgot that he's God. So people would say, you see, he also gets into trouble. Just like we do when we forget our identity, he gets into trouble. The difference is, when he gets into such a situation, it's called a lila. And that's where the real sweetness of Shri Krishna's personality is allowed to come out. Now, let me give you an analogy which is not based in reality, but it may help you to understand what I mean by the sweetness. You know, nowadays, superheroes are very popular, right? When I was growing up, my favorite superhero was Superman. But what's so interesting about Superman to us? It's not really the fact that he has all of these powers. That's part of it. But what really draws us to his personality is that although he has these powers, he's also living a normal life, right? He's a newspaper reporter. He has a mother and a father, actually. And he goes to them for advice, and sometimes they scold him, and he obeys their instructions. So this side of Superman's personality, where he goes to his mother and father for advice, and where he's more like us, that's the thing that attracts us to his personality. And he's just a cartoon character, right? But I'm just telling you this because see how our mind works. If Superman were just this all-powerful superhero who was absolutely invincible and had nothing, wasn't like us in any way, we wouldn't read those comics or go to those movies. What makes it attractive to us are the parts where he's like us. Now, God is real. And God really has unlimited power. He really is invincible. But this Yogamaya Shakti makes him forget his godliness. That Bhagavata that I described on the first day, those six things he has in unlimited amount, it makes him forget that that's who he is. So he really wants that buttermilk from those gopis. He really is trembling before his mother when she threatens him with this little floppy twig that she's holding in front of him. He's not pretending or acting. He really just feels, oh, she's my mother. That's it. When he plays with his friends, he's not pretending to want to be with them. He really wants to be with them. They really are his friends, those Gwalbals, who happen to be God-realized saints, but nonetheless, they're just souls. Does God need to play with any soul? If he remembers that he's God, oh, I'm all-powerful, all-blissful, all-knowing. I don't need anything from anybody. So this Yogamaya Shakti, it says, Maya Pati Hun Achai. Maya Pati, the owner, the controller of Maya, Shri Krishna, is made to dance by his Yogamaya Shakti. So this Yogamaya Shakti is very special and becomes the cause of all the sweetest leelas of Shri Krishna that are the most attractive to us, because then we can relate to him. We feel like we can love him and he would love us as well. Now, even when this is happening, he still is God. He doesn't stop being God, but he's not aware of his godliness. That's the only thing. He hasn't lost his power. He's just not aware of it. He's not conscious of the fact that he's God. You know, even the president, he will want to forget that he's the president during his leisure time, right? If he wants to go have a game of golf or play with his kids, do you think he wants his kids calling him Mr. President? No, he wants his kids to call him Dad. Similarly, Shri Krishna gladly forgets his godliness and plays with those God-realized saints, the Gwalbals, the Gopis, his mother and father, Yashoda, Nanda Baba. And all of this is made possible through this Yogamaya Shakti. So now we understand, we've had a good explanation of what is Jeev Shakti, we've had a good explanation of what is Maya Shakti, now we have a little more in-depth understanding of what is this Yogamaya Shakti as well. Going forward now, in the verses to follow, Sri Maharaj-ji talks about the path in the next few verses. Now, what do we have to do? Knowing who we are, who God is, what Maya is, what our eternal situation is, now what do we have to do? We want to attain God. We want to have this loving, sweet relationship with him. We want to experience those leelas where Shri Krishna is just like us. So how do we get there? There has to be some sadhana. There has to be some practice that we follow on a daily basis in order to achieve such a great thing that we want to do, which is become free from Maya and attain Shri Krishna. So these things are explained in the next few dohas, which we'll be taking up from tomorrow. Boliye Vrindavan Bihari Lal Ki Jai.